And welcome into another edition of the B Squared Podcast. It is Monday, July 10th, as we record. I'm Jordan Burnfield. He's Brian Beto. And we go into the All-Star break, which begins tonight. And there is one Cub in the All-Star game, and the team is two games under 500 at 43-45. Amazingly, the Cubs, after winning the World Series a year ago, 5.5 games out of first place, tied with the Cardinals for second place in the National League Central, and the Brewers in first, 9 games over 500 at the break. So, Beto, I don't know where to start with this, because obviously the Cubs have underachieved. Obviously, it's been a weird first half. As you look at the totality of this first half of the season, what stands out to you as kind of the biggest reason why this Cubs team just hasn't been nearly as good as they should be?
I mean, if you think of everything together and all these disappointments, and there's some randomness to it. However, though, I think the biggest culprit in my eyes has been the inconsistent starting pitching. And you can look at the offense and the inconsistencies there, and that's a fair point. But the reason why I point to the starting pitching more than anything else is that it so frequently just puts the offense in such a pressure-filled situation, being down early so often and making these spots early in games so much bigger. Maybe the hitters are putting a little bit too much pressure on themselves, but almost every day it seems like they're chasing 1, 2, 3 runs early on and trying to come back so often. Even as talented as this group is offensively, it's a daunting task, and they lead baseball with first inning runs given up, and John Lester gives up a 10 spot, and they were even in the lead before that happened. So it's just, I think they need more consistent starting pitching. You build a lead, the dynamic changes, it loosens up the group. You're not going to get repeat performances like you had last year. However, something's got to give at the beginning of baseball games, whether that is player acquisition outside the organization, whether that's just more internal success from the current guys out there. But to me, that's been the biggest thing so far in the unofficial first half.
Yeah, I agree with you. They've played 88 games. They've given up 81 first inning runs. It's 10 more than they gave up all of last year in the first inning. And I've heard Theo Epstein speak on radio shows and in the media in the last few days. And what I think is fascinating, Beto, is that we often think of Theo and Jed Hoyer as stat geeks, because they're sort of two of the guys that were part of the whole Moneyball fame and everything. But what I always find interesting when you listen to them talk is how they always discuss the human element of this thing. And I think that early in the season, it was kind of fluky that they were giving up a lot of first inning runs. And then because these starting pitchers are human, it's sort of like every game they'd go out there and go, oh, I can't give up a first inning run. I can't give up a first inning run. We've given up a lot of first inning runs. I put my team in a hole. And then lo and behold, they give up a first inning run. It feels to me like that's what's going on here, because I agree. We expected some regression from a lot of the players from last year, but particularly with the starting pitching staff because of the age of some of these starters. We saw it happening with Jake Arrieta in the second half of last season, even though he was huge in the World Series, and I'll always point that out, because he won two games they had to win on the road, and that was crucial in them winning the World Series. I mean, John Lester was incredible last year, but we knew that the early portion of this six-year contract was going to be when you expected to get the best out of him, and that later in the contract, you were expecting some level of regression. I don't think we were expecting an ERA over 4 in the third year, but we definitely, I think, thought that he might take a little bit of a step back. Hendricks has been hurt and not the same pitcher so far this season. I think we all were kind of hoping that John Lackey could get through what we expected to be the final year of his career, but it has not gone particularly well for John, obviously. So I think that we knew that the starting pitching would come back a little bit, but the first inning runs thing, I think, is a human element issue. And it is sort of the, like, and you heard Chris Bryant talking about it. It's like, they all know that they're better than this, that they should be better than this, but it's almost like the problem keeps compounding on itself every game that they don't perform. And here they are 5.5 games out of first, only because no one has run away with this division yet, though the Brewers are starting to look like a team that might. And again, you and I have talked about this before. I don't think that this means that they got to do any drastic things. I just think that this, it might not be their year. They certainly could get hot and they could certainly have that run in the second half. Just the way they look right now, it's hard to see it happening.
Yeah, definitely. And they're just, again, Joe Maddon's talked about they're fortunate due to geography and being right into this thing, even though it's, you know, 5.5 games or 5 games, whatever it is, isn't so easy to overcome, even though there's a lot of baseball left to be played. They have some games left with the Brewers. They're fortunate to be as close as they are with as inconsistent as they've been. And it carry that human element over, not just kind of the randomness of the first inning runs, but they go back to the pressure that it puts on your offense to succeed in some of these higher leverage spots. And you look at the runners in scoring position average with 2 outs or just in general, and it's horrific. It's bottom 5 in baseball. It has been the majority of the season, and the offense is just too good to not hit in those spots. And you could say maybe it's just a fluke, maybe it's luck, and maybe that's the case to an extent. But I feel like in a situation when you have guys on and you're already down a couple of runs, the pressure starts to mount, and maybe there just is a little bit more of a human element than you know we've led on to it. And if the Cubs start seeing better starting pitching, I'm going to have the feeling that you're going to see the offense start to click, and there's going to be a little bit more synergy, not only with that, but with the defense. I know that's been better in general over the last month or so. And Theo's talked about potentially a trade and things of that, but he's right. And it's not like this bahooey, this baloney that most of it's going to come within, because even if you do, let's say you add a great number 2 or number 3 starter, that's a controllable asset. That's going to add you what, 2 or 3 wins realistically in the regular season, the rest of the way. So a lot of it, the majority of it has to come from the players currently in the clubhouse, and they have the talent to do so. And let's see if this All-Star break is really a nice blessing for them to come out and kind of regroup and get started in the second half.
What do you think has been the most surprising issue for the Cubs in the first half of the season? Is it the pitching regression? Is it Kyle Schwarber having just a horrific first half of the season? Is it the injuries? I mean, what would you point to as the thing that has surprised you most?
The details, to me, just not doing some of the little things. And I know it sounds kind of like the coach speak, but it adds up, because you look at, we've talked about in this podcast, the defense not being or playing up to its capability. And like I said, it's gotten better recently, despite a couple of sloppy games against the Pirates. The base running, another area. The Cubs were a terrific base running team a year ago, even without just a ton of natural speed and athleticism. Yeah, they got some athletes, they got some above average runners speed wise, but they really ran the bases well last year. And you looked at guys like Hayward, and I know he's been injured this year, and Bryant, some of these other guys, but they're just average this year. And to me, that points out to some of the details and some of the smaller aspects of the game that added up over 162 games last year that they did so well. And Schwarber individually is the biggest surprise to me, that he just didn't. I understand how inexperienced he was, and I fully expect him, hopefully, to get back to that level. But his struggle surprised me. But those were the two things that I think I would point to as the two most unfortunate things, surprise wise, to go in the first half.
According to Baseball Reference, they don't have one starting pitcher in the top 10 on the team in WAR. Can you believe that?
It's nuts.
I mean, according to Baseball Reference, Eddie Butler has a 0.6 WAR. He has the highest WAR of any starter on the Cubs right now.
Well, that would be a surprise, I would say. I didn't expect him to have the highest WAR at the All-Star break.
Right. I mean, but can you believe that? I mean, that John Lester wouldn't have it. Obviously, Sunday start was, that's kind of a disaster for your statistics, because you give up 10 in the first inning, even though only 4 of them were earned. I mean, that's just going to ruin what numbers you have. But it is pretty amazing that all of this is, the way I've kind of explained it to people, Beto, is like last year when a team wins the World Series, everything has to go right. I mean, the Cubs had tremendous talent, obviously, and great players, and that's why they won. But when you win, everything has to go your way, right? I mean, you need your all your guys in your lineup to contribute in different big spots. You need for your starting pitching to be lights out. You need for bullpen guys to step up. You need your defense to be there. And all of those things were there for the Cubs last year, really from start to finish. I mean, they were 25-6. And other than that little stretch before the All-Star break, they never were ever really close to losing their lead in the division. I mean, I think it got down to, what, 7 or 6 at one point, and then they ended up winning the division by 18 games. So they were blowing people out in the regular season, and then obviously they fell behind in the World Series, but this was the best team all year, and they won. This year, it's like all the things that went right last year are sort of reversing themselves this year in that the starting pitching has not been as good and has not been healthy. They've had nagging injuries from several key players from last year who have not been there. A lot of people talk about the loss of Dexter Fowler and what that's done to the team, and I don't deny how valuable that Fowler was to this team in the leadoff spot, but I don't think that's the reason why their offense has struggled. I think you hit it on the head. It's because they're not hitting in the clutch. And why aren't they hitting in the clutch? You've got all these guys that have performed at star level over the last 2, 3, 4 years that are just not doing it right now. And I honestly don't want to make it sound so simplistic, but sometimes baseball is just weird. I mean, you can't always anticipate odd statistical happenings, and I feel like or injuries, and I feel like all of those things are happening at once, like the regression and the lack of defense and the lack of clutch hitting. It's all happening in one bad stretch, and consequently this team is under 500 because, you know, I've said this to you before, if the Cubs were performing to like 70% of what they could be, they'd probably have the same record as the Brewers. But they're not.
I agree, and you're right. It's hard to account for some of this stuff. And to go back to your point about just everything kind of going right and it has to win the World Series, I always kind of take like an alternative way of saying that and saying, you know what, you don't have, not everything has to go your way, but things just can't go against you. And a lot of times that's what happens, prevents the best team from winning the World Series. I joke when some people are saying, oh, they were just lucky last year. It's like, you actually look at there are stats or sites that measure the luck factor over the regular season. And you can actually make the case that the Cubs were unlucky during the regular season.
Right. They could have won more games last year.
Pythagorean of run differential should have been at like 108 wins instead of 103, but that's beside the point. But nothing went against them or against them at all in the playoffs, like they did for the other teams. And like you said, everything's culminating at the same time this year, and some of it might be random, but it's interesting to see how much might kind of be the human element of it. And I expect, you know, some sort of progression to the mean in this point, at this point this season, but we'll have to see. I mean, they've fallen behind enough, but they're in it due to the fact that nobody's running away with the division. That's also random that the Central just happens to be down this year, when 2 years ago, if they were in the spot, you know, a couple games under 500, the season was pretty much over for them. So we'll have to see what happens as they start the second half. The good news is that the schedule lightens up significantly compared to that first half.
Right. And I know a lot of people have said that, but I think that the reverse of that, and maybe this is unfair to say, but the reverse of that is teams could be looking at it as like, hey, look at the Cubs are coming in. They're 43-45. Like, I agree that the Cubs should be better than this. And I agree with you that the way that the schedule sets up, it should benefit them. But the flip side of that is that, you know, other teams might be looking at it going, this is an under 500 Cubs team that's on a World Series hangover.
Yeah, and they might be. I mean, not that this is a good thing, bodes well against good teams, but I know they've done fairly well against some garbage teams. And up until this last week and a half or so, they'd played pretty well against the National League Central. So if you're looking at some of the positives, you look at that. I know Ben Zobrist is still getting back in the swing of things after his injury. Same with Jason Hayward. The silver lining, and it's an extremely small sample size, but even over the weekend, Kyle Schwarber looked like a different hitter with a great approach. So
I agree. I mean, he was hitting the ball to left center, so that was good, right? I mean, he was hitting the ball to left center. I thought that was a good sign. Yeah.
It was great. So, I mean, you get that, and you've had a couple of starts that were good from Arrieta. I know he had the sixth inning and he was a little bit all over the place on Saturday, but his previous start was good. And I still think this team's going to add starting pitching. at some point. So it makes sense that they're not looking for a rental and want to mortgage the future for that. But if they can find someone that can help them get back and even with the Brewers and surpass them this year and also in the future, that's not a secret. Everyone knows that. But maybe a healthy team and getting Hendricks back and a little bit of continuity in the starting pitching. And hopefully there's some sort of leveling off of first runs given up by the starting pitchers. And, you know, they still are. They're still right, as bad as things are. And they're bad from a team that you just didn't expect. They're still in a position to potentially get to the playoffs and win a division.
They are, but they're going to have to get hot. And it's and really, before it
trade there's always like that game where you're like, all right, let's go. We're going to start going now. We're going to get on a roll. We win a couple of games in a row or one game in a row. We look great. And it just hasn't been there. And they've got to get out, like you said, at some point in the second half.
Yeah, and I don't know when that run or if that run is coming. I mean, when you're 5.5 back, it's not that you can't make it up. You certainly can in baseball. There's plenty of time for them to do so. They still have almost half the season left. They're a little past the halfway point. I think they played 88 games at this point, but you know, you need Milwaukee to not play well too. I mean, at this point, the one easy question to ask is this young Brewers team sort of ready to take that next step? It's one thing to be in first place at the All-Star break with an underachieving division, particularly an underachieving world champion, defending world champion, and you know, to have that record now, but are these young Brewers sort of It's one thing to be in first place at the halfway point. It's another thing in pressure games down the stretch to come through and win the division. Maybe the Brewers are ready. I don't know. I think we both saw the Brewers kind of coming, but we didn't expect it obviously this year.
We think
that they're good, and I don't think they're a fluke. It's just that, you know, when you've got young players, you never know, right? If they're going to be ready to kind of take that next step and win this year. I don't mean the World Series. I'm just saying, like, to win a division, you need things to go your way, and you need to kind of be ready to take that step. I don't know if they're ready for that. I don't think any of us know if they're ready for that. We know that the Cubs are capable of taking that and running with it. It's just, you know, it's like one thing after the next, day in and day out. And even the game on Friday, I know the Cubs won that game, but they played unbelievably sloppy baseball for the first 4 or 5 innings. The only thing that was saving them was that the Pirates were playing just as badly as they were. And then, you know, Bryant goes off and Rizzo hits a home run and they end up winning that game. But it's like they haven't had a game recently where you felt really good start to finish about the way they've played. People have been trying to lump these narratives on like the game in Washington, but they didn't play well in the game in Washington. They just came back in the 9th inning against a bad bullpen, which they deserve credit for doing. It was really exciting, but it wasn't a start to finish masterpiece performance. And I'm not saying that one of those would even pretend that they're going to play great for the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks. The point is we really have not seen a stretch at all this season. And that's evidenced by their record that says they are playing like the team that's going to get hot and take over this division.
Yep. And you're right. And I'm trying to convince myself and be positive that, and maybe this doesn't come, but you look at this group and it's easy to say they play well when their back's against the wall because they won the World Series. However, I feel like some of these games that they're in, that they come back in late, is kind of a microcosm, or I'm hoping is a microcosm of the season, where they're falling behind, just not playing well. And even in this year, they always seem to make it interesting late. You talk about the comeback in Washington, and last year, obviously, the comeback down 3-1. So I'm trying to graciously convince myself that, hey, this team plays their best baseball when their back's against the wall. They let all that kind of randomness go out the window, and I'm hoping that they're looking right now, and they're not, their backs aren't against the wall yet, but they're creeping there, and hopefully they realize that and they kick it into gear. And the next time we do this podcast, we're talking about a team that's starting to turn the corner.
Yep. Well, they've got Baltimore next, and then they'll go to Atlanta before coming home to take on the Cardinals in July 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. So as we record, that's about 11 days from now, and then they'll have the White Sox at home. One thing that's going to be really good, Beto, is between July 21st and I think August 7th, they're going to have a stretch where they don't really have to travel because they're home against the Cardinals, home against the White Sox, at the White Sox, which is not traveling, at the Brewers, which is barely any travel. Then they're home against Arizona and home against Washington. So they're going to be home for the better part of a month, really before they go on a week-long road trip out west and then come back home for another week against Cincinnati and Toronto. So, like you said, the schedule does benefit them, but I guess we don't know. We'll have to see how this Cubs team does. I agree they're going to make a trade. I agree that they're going to do something. It's been a weird year, and as they get to the All-Star break, how funny is it that the Cubs have Joe Maddon and the coaching staff down in Miami to manage the All-Star game? Wade Davis is down there, and nobody else.
Yep.
Like the Cubs finally have.
I would love for them to have a bunch of All-Stars like they did last year. It's a lot of fun. But
this year they need the break.
Honestly, I'm just being naive here, but I think it's probably a good thing that they can just get away, clear their heads and start fresh and not have to keep rolling. So it might be a good thing that nobody else is there.
Agreed. All right. So since the Cubs are not playing until later in the week, are you predicting like a weekend sweep in Baltimore, or how are we going to do this?
You think the Cubs are having a, you know, we're talking badly about the Cubs right now and we're worried you're freaking out. What do you think they're doing in Baltimore? I mean, this is a team that got off to a really good start. And everyone's like, oh, it's going to be Baltimore and the Yankees. The Red Sox will try to catch them. And it quickly dropped off. So there's a lot going on in Baltimore that's not all that great either. The Cubs don't get to visit Camden Yards very often, obviously. So as a result, they're going to take care of business and sweep the O's. Sorry, Steve Stone.
I love it. I'm going to go Cubs win 2 out of 3, but that's honestly more hopeful than anything else. But, you know, I'd love to see them do it. But I just don't know right now. But Beto, enjoy your All-Star break. How do people find us on Facebook?
Search for the B Squared Show, your source for all Cubs talk all the time. We'll post each and every one.
And you can find us on Twitter. He's at Brian Beto. I am at Jordan Bernfield. Thanks so much for listening. And I think we both need a few days off the way things have gone lately. And I will talk to you when we're back and refreshed next week.
All right, you have a good one.
All right, he's Brian, I'm Jordan. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week on the B Squared Show. See ya.